Well, from Ripper Grade to the All Blacks, what lies ahead for the game of rugby? New Zealand Rugby is facing a financial crisis this morning. Revenue will be down by 70% this year, and that's on top of a $7.5 million loss last year. It's warned half of its 180 workforce will go. Staff have already had their wages cut, as have professional players earning above $50,000. Super Rugby begins on Saturday week, the 13th, with the five local Super Rugby clubs playing each other over 10 weeks before empty stadiums. The Mitre 10 Cup's due to start in September, but there are questions over whether the competition will work for provincial unions financially. And there's no certainty over the future shape of international competitions, who, where and when the All Blacks might play. Mark Robinson is the Chief Executive of New Zealand Rugby. I began by putting it to him that the organisation is looking at whichever situation it comes out of at several tens of millions of dollars of loss.
Well, it's a rapidly changing environment in that. And certainly from when we looked at this 2 months ago to where we are now, there's steady improvement, and we just have to keep building these scenarios. And you'll be hearing, Catherine, from interviewing lots of different people across business, the amount of scenario planning going on at the moment. And we've got as many as, two, three or four scenarios that we're running through till the end of next year. And we just have to be really disciplined and focused around those. But at the same time, as we've been very, very aggressive with minimising costs, we are now getting, as I said earlier, more excited about some of the potential opportunities. We're starting professional rugby again in under 2 weeks. We've signalled, that we'll be starting Mitre 10 Cup on in early September, and we'll be hopefully playing, a not insignificant schedule of international rugby in the back end of the year. Combined with that, we've got Farah Palmer Cup committed to for about the 22nd of August, and we're seeing community rugby coming up and hopefully running. I know practices are going because I've been helping out with my son's team in the last week or so, and we've got the opportunity to have that going from about the 20th of June. It'll vary around the country, but so there are some things breathing a huge amount of life back into the game, which is really exciting again. There's no, I'm not trying to hide from the fact that we've got some challenges, but we've got to be balanced here in the approach we have, and we think there's a lot of things to be optimistic about as we work through the second half of the year.
So as it stands, with the optimism rising, what rugby are you anticipating, what international matches are you anticipating will go ahead, and what is gone?
Well, the most likely scenario we can see at the moment is playing some form of international rugby in the last quarter of the year. Now, we're not absolutely certain of that, and we're talking to all different parties around what that might look like. Some in the Northern Hemisphere, some in terms of our Sanzar partners. We're obviously checking in with World Rugby in terms of, calendar. We're talking to the government and Ministry of Health around, possibilities that they see for crowds and for trans-Tasman bubbles and those sorts of things. So it's a really dynamic situation that we're dealing with. But the underlying sense is one of optimism, and we just have to stay close to all of those parties, particularly the government, as we build up what a fixture list could look like.
The realistic All Blacks matchup potentially is the Wallabies and possibly nothing else, is it not?
No, I wouldn't go that far at all. No, there's possibilities, like I said, around other Sanzar countries, and there's some other countries that we're talking to as well.
Could you name them? Could you indicate who the talks are with?
Not at this stage. I don't think it, like I say, it's
we're talking Pacific Islands nations potentially, those that could potentially be in a travel bubble.
Yeah, and then that's not just the Pacific, but they could be a team or a selection of a team. And like I say, there are others that are reaching out and they're looking at New Zealand and seeing is there an opportunity to come here, depending on quarantine and border issues, to be able to look at opportunities.
Like a global invitation team? No?
I don't know if we've gone that far yet. There will be rugby starting up all around the world, hopefully, and we don't know what that looks like exactly in the Northern Hemisphere, but people will have commitments with their other countries and clubs around the world that they have to observe as well. So I'm not sure if we'd go that far, but...
What are the prospects of a global club championship that has been discussed?
I mean, we're talking, if you'd have seen the media releases in the last couple of weeks about possibilities around global calendar. We're certainly excited about the possibility of July moving to October. through those conversations, there have been discussions, you know, broadly about could something like that happen. There's only some very small windows in the calendar where it's a possibility, and a lot of that will depend, you know, on where some of the Northern Hemisphere club competitions get to, the likes of the French League, the English Premiership and the Pro 14. So it's very much a wait and see, but there's certainly an appetite at the moment to look at more possibilities like that. And I think a real sense through COVID that, you know, this is an opportunity to reset the game a little bit and put, you know, put the fan and spectator interest at the heart of that, along with, you know, what's good for players as well, and see what we can come up with.
In other words, is this time to do the reform that New Zealand has been wanting for some time and that possibly new leadership at World Rugby might usher in, which is a fundamental change to the way the season works and with a flow-on effect for remuneration for New Zealand?
Well, there's definitely the possibilities, and there's an appetite definitely at the moment to do something new and to try and make some, you know, advancements on a lot of the ideas that have been talked about in the past. I mean, but there's, you know, we've got to respect, just as we have, you know, interests in what might or might not work for us, that'll exist around the world, and we've just got to get into a room or a virtual screen or whatever the case may be in the coming months and have those discussions out. And I'll sit down, you know, I've got one near the end of this week and there's another one set down for June. And we just have to keep trying to understand where our partners are at with us and other nations, and keep working through it.
The possibility then of a revived 12 Nations Championship. How enthusiastic are you for that?
Well, that would be one possibility. Whether that's something that happens every year, you know, we've got question marks about. We think there might be a possibility in a four-year cycle around World Cup to think, not have to treat every year the same. So there could be other ideas that get put on the table around that. And, you know, we'll have a look at that. A lot of it will come back to, again, what can drive real value. We don't want to play more rugby. We're looking at how we can create more value with the same or potentially less rugby and create real value in those fixtures. And to do that, we have to build a narrative around whatever these competitions are. And that goes for whatever Super Rugby or club or domestic rugby looks like, as well as the international game. Well, we simply have to find a way, and the calendar can help this to build more value.
By not splitting, not being split the way it is currently split, the international calendar. That is the fundamental change you are looking for.
Well, it's one of them. You know, we certainly think that can build value, especially in the October-November window. Some of the other changes proposed for the start of the year, you know, we need to do more work on and look at what how they might be delivered and how it fits in with rugby in our country. But certainly at the back end of the year, we see significant opportunity there. So, and again, that goes into a whole range of issues here, Catherine, around the shape of the game, the laws of the game, the player welfare issues. You know, the calendar is certainly one critical piece, but there's a whole lot of range of issues in rugby at the moment we need to be working in. And as you said earlier, the opportunity with new membership, new leadership, a new sense of optimism around world rugby to want to drive some of these areas is something that we're looking to be leadership for.
I want to spend just the last few minutes on domestic. We must, most important in many ways. But just quickly on the future of the Super 15, given South Africa's noises about switching to the European competition, the complications at the moment, is its future tenuous as a competition?
The impact of COVID in terms of what it means for, you know, the first half of next year is not fully known yet. So there's scenarios being built around that. And there's a lot of media speculation around all the different, you know, joint venture parties involved with Sanzo at the moment in terms of South Africa, Argentina, Australia and ourselves for that matter. So what's important is that we go to these meetings and we get everything on the table and as you do in a partnership that's been going for over 25 years and you understand where each other partner is at and you try to work through these challenges.
On the domestic front, you had already had a plan for reform. In fact, I think you just dropped it just as COVID struck. What fundamentally, what changes are needed domestically?
Well, we're in a situation where our combined, our costs exceed our revenues. So we have a situation where the game is not sustainable. So what we're looking to there is a range of different possibilities around how we can preserve what's important at all levels of the game, but look for, you know, systems and structures that are more sustainable, you know, long term. And to do that, we need to preserve the absolute sanctity of the community game and invest in that area so we make sure the base of the pyramid is as wide as possible and has as many people coming into it across the playing group, administrators, referees, volunteers and all those sorts of great things. And the game's accessible and people get good support when they come into the game. And then as we work through the pathway up into, first class and high performance pathways, that those competitions serve a purpose and are very clear and are sustainable. And then that trickles through, obviously, into the professional area of the game, which we largely drive a lot of our revenue through our professional leagues and the All Blacks, and making sure, as I said earlier in the call, that we get good value from those competitions so that we're not playing more and more rugby for the sake of it, that we're driving better value across, hopefully, improved calendars and all the things we've just talked about earlier in the interview. So that's skipping through it quite quickly to
you
play.
You talked about the base of the pyramid, Mark, and I'm curious about that because I think in some parts of the country, male player participation at high school is dropping by 30%, 20% in other places is not uncommon. Clubs are struggling. They've been hit hard. Development and community liaison officer roles at New Zealand Rugby are looking like ones that will go. Clubs are really struggling massively financially. What is the plan for that very base of the pyramid?
Well, we want to, over time, once we come through COVID, we obviously want to be able to reprioritise and look at the allocation of resource into that area to significantly support it. And so the plan is, broadly speaking, how can we, taking on things that came through the review of rugby at the start of the year and combining with COVID right now, is over time, once we come through this, take the time to prioritise and work with those issues that you described to get the right amount of resource dedicated into those areas to focus on those exact challenges. And to do that, it means that we're going to have to reprioritise other areas potentially. And you've talked to some of the inefficiencies, and we know through our competitions at the moment, in some areas, they're not sustainable either. So how do we create fit-for-purpose, competitions and pathways that make sense and are sustainable, and then reprioritise in other areas to make sure that we do have a vibrant game in 5, 10, 15, 20 years' time. And that needs, like I said earlier, a lot of resource, and it needs people that are passionate and committed to it that we've obviously got, but they need support, they need direction. And as we come through this, that's what we're sitting down in the next month or two with people, design what rugby from 2021 onwards in this country might look like.
Financially, what are your options? You're so heavily dependent on the All Blacks for income right through the sport. They, in turn, don't get paid their due when they travel to the Northern Hemisphere. The Northern Hemisphere unions pocket the money. Most of the income that the All Blacks bring in, ultimately the big money, comes from a once every decade tour by the British Lions down here. So what are your other options financially?
The first thing is around the players. We've never, set out to pay them the highest salaries for players in the world. And you're right, we've never, pretended to be able to compete with those. But what we do offer are outstanding competitions, great teams to play in, and really good.
The point, Mark, was the revenue for New Zealand rugby is very dependent, isn't it, on the All Blacks? And if you're looking to restructure the financial base of the sport, in order to support those grassroots, okay, in order to make what might be substantial investments for the decline in participation and the struggling of the clubs, are you looking at a very different financial structure? And are you looking at more options vis-a-vis private equity? You already play some role, obviously, in the professional clubs, professional leagues, but are you looking at a greater role for private equity and investment?
Well, we're looking at a whole range of, obviously there's been media headlines around the world on this matter, and the Northern Hemisphere have made that move early. We don't see the need, to make that move right now. But there are a range of opportunities we're looking at.
Have you had conversations with private equity investors at any level?
Yeah, there've been conversations with a range of different potential partners across the last, prior to my time as chief executive, we've had regular, requests from people to meet and talk about different opportunities that might be available in this space. So, So, absolutely.
Would that be tied to a fundamental restructuring of the competitions domestically and potentially internationally? Would it be tied to a real change in the way things operate currently?
Oh, look, we haven't gone that far, Catherine, in sort of considering anything like that if we were to go down that path. So I think what you've highlighted is the need to drive revenue, and there's obviously revenue associated at the moment around teams and competitions, which obviously we're trying to maximise. And then there's revenue in what we'd probably call non-core areas where we think we have to think more creatively around alternative revenue streams. And prior to COVID, we'd started a lot of work in that area, and that work's just coming back to the table now about possibilities of working into more emerging markets and working with new ideas around leveraging our brands and a whole range of different ideas. So, and we've got a team that's dedicated to that area and working hard on it.
That is the New Zealand Rugby Chief Executive Mark Robertson. Super Rugby, as it is this year, which of course is the five local clubs getting underway on June 13th.